frame episode on the Geek Show Podcast Network. I'm Toddy.
I am stunned. I mean, I'm Lewis.
I am Rob. And I'm ever so slightly shocked by that voice. How tight are your underwear?
Super!
I'm going to put all these welcome-ins on my resume. It's like, I'm a voice actor now.
I am very good at kicking off shows with a bang.
You want an introduction, you came to the right place.
Oh, right. Okay, let's head straight into our trailers. We always start with trailers. So we've got a few of them. Starting off with this Scared Rider Zex. Now, yeah, I know. When I first saw the title, I thought, it's Sacred Rider. No, hang on. Is that a spelling? Is that a typo? Is it sacred? Is it supposed to be sacred? No, it's Scared. And then I'm thinking, hang on, if he's scared, why is he in an anime about combat? Don't make no sense.
I might be scared, but I'll never back down. Never!
Dr. Bio.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, Scared Riders
he's
X.
Anime.
Scared Riders X. It's about a mysterious alien menace known only as Nightfly or Nort.
What the? Okay. Catchy. Right. All right. I can accept that.
It's been terrorizing a world of godless people, not Earth.
A world of godless people.
Yes, a world of godless people using the Crimson Barrier Scared. In order to counter the threat, humanity established the Lag Defense Agency on the Ryukyu Islands and created the Scared Rider Fighting Unit. But they pronounce it Scared.
The names are getting on my nerves already, to be completely honest.
Sounds like a drunk Irishman's try to me.
Yeah. Anyway, the first five Scared units, they were defeated. And now the sixth team has been formed, which is where the Zex comes in, because it's the German word for six. But
right,
they
okay.
got the sixth team is formed, but then they find out that the Nightfly or Nort invasion has suddenly stopped, and they don't know why.
Okay.
And that's the basic premise of this anime series. Now, I don't know, what do you guys think of the trailer?
The art style looks cool, but the naming convention sound like it's really trying to be like edgy and out there and just like, what's the point of these stupid names?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like it. It hasn't caught interest. For a trailer, it's supposed to catch interest and nah. Tack it or leave it for all I care.
Looks pretty though.
It came out on the Vita in 2015, but that again was a port of the release on the PSP in 2012, which in turn was also a part of the PlayStation 2 version.
Hmm.
So it's been around, floating around in kind of the video game world for a few years now. And yeah, now it's getting an anime series. I'm not sure. I've never heard of this game. I'll be honest.
Scraping the barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's really, really good.
No.
Am I the most optimistic one here?
No, we have no creative writers. What can we make? Well, I've got a PS2 collection. We're going to have a rake around it.
See, I would have loved, if you're going to pick PS2 games to make an anime series of, right? I'd be really happy.
Pick Persona and then make a fighting game and then make a dancing game and then make another spin-off and then another spin-off.
Yeah.
Persona 4 bass fishing.
But I already done it in the game. You'll do it again and you will like it.
Persona 4 supermarket sweep. With Dale Winton.
Persona 4 Blitz. It's like Bejeweled Bits, but with Persona characters.
Yes. But yeah, I would have preferred if they went for something like Grim Grimoire or Odin Sphere. Because they had great art style. They had a really interesting story. And they were just really interesting games. Instead of another romance type, visual novel type game.
Yeah. We've got enough stuff like that in the anime industry,
yeah.
To be honest.
I'm not really a fan of this already. And it seems like it's one of those typical reverse harem type things, like Hakuoki and stuff like that. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I don't have much of an opinion on it, to be honest.
No interest in it whatsoever.
Yeah. Not going to say it's bad, but don't think much of it. It's just,
I mean, I'd give it a chance if it was thrust in front of us and I had like nothing else to do. But
yeah. About well, aside it. From that, yeah. Well, the director is Hideto Kamori, and his only other time in the big chair is with Hayate the Combat Butler, Heaven is a Place on Earth, the movie.
Ooh, baby, do you know what that's worth?
Shut up, Belinda.
Is it?
You good? Know I'm going to get that reference.
Is it a good movie?
It's Hire to the Combat Butler, which started off as an interesting kind of madcap comedy type thing. Had a couple of good moments, and then really trailed off. It really devolved into nothing. See, the problem is, Hayate had a really good idea with the whole thing with the King's Jewel and everything like that.
Yeah.
And they never went anywhere with it. I mean, the manga still kind of dilly-dallies about with all sorts of things, and it's like X hundred chapters long already. I think it's in the 400s now, and it's still dilly-dallying about. And you just think, well, no. You know?
Just kill it.
Yeah, kill it with fire. Anyway, moving on.
Ouch, I think. Yeah. Got torn to pieces.
Yes, moving on to Berserk. There's a trailer out for the new Berserk series, which actually looks like it's going to be a continuation on after the Golden Age arc, which was the three movies that were kind of a recap of the original TV series. And it went on about, you know, be careful of killing monsters because you might become the monster when you gaze at the abyss. The abyss gazes back at you. And, you know, as long as you wear our mark, you can turn into a monster at any point, that sort of thing. Some interesting animation style there and some interesting artwork, but not a lot to tell about how it's going to proceed.
Deep quotes. That being said, that's a quote that sort of came to me yesterday. I can't remember what the context was, but I saw it and I started thinking about it a little bit. So. Yeah. And yeah, I guess it's true.
Well, I mean,
but we have no idea what they're going to do with that just because they can, you know, I don't know who made that quote, but I'm guessing it was someone who has been around for a while and sounds smart. So I guess it's done. They've done their job by shoehorning it into there. But just because they can do that doesn't necessarily prove that, you know, the show's going to be as smart or as interesting.
I can kind of predict that it's going to have a massive following because it's Berserk, number one. And Berserk has a massive following.
True. It's already a thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Berserk has been a thing for a long time. And I think with this, because what they did with the Golden Age arc, they basically kept it true to the manga as much as possible that they could fit into the three movies. And as much as it was a recap, they kept it true to the manga. And I think with this, they're going to keep it true to how the manga has been progressing. So it's going to be a lot more like the 2011 release of Hunter x Hunter than it's going to be anything else. So that gives me some hope because the manga has been getting interesting. Yes, it's brutal and violent and everything like that. But Guts' character is an interesting mix because he looks like the typical kind of, oh, hulking brute swordsman type thing, but he actually has that conscious level about him that what he's doing isn't necessarily the right thing.
Oh, is he like a really nice, warm and fuzzy guy deep down inside?
No, he's a killer. He's a dyed-in-the-wool killer.
Yeah.
And the problem is that the whole thing with Guts is that he can go berserk. He can literally become the monster in order to kill the monsters. And the reason he does that is because of the things that have happened to him through his life and when he was with the Band of the Hawk. It kind of calls into question exactly what is the monster and what is the man. In the manga, Berserk, Guts is becoming more and more like a monster, whereas Griffith, who has gone full pelt into becoming a monster, is actually becoming more and more divine, in a sense. Do you see what I mean?
So no, because I haven't seen it, but I'm guessing the idea is that, like, I guess if you go full monster, it's easier to sort of, like, have a full perspective of everything.
Yeah. I don't know how the manga's going to progress, but I'm actually hopeful for the anime series.
It's got potential.
Anyway, moving on to A Silent Voice. Now, The Silent Voice is a manga series that we've been featuring on 4Panel, and it's all about bullying. If you want to know more about it, then listen to 4Panel, because I'm not going to go into the story here. But they've got a trailer out for the movie of A Silent Voice. Now, it's interesting that they're actually doing it as a movie rather than as an anime series. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I guess if they do it as a movie, like, it's more likely to be seen.
Yeah.
But I liked the graphics. They were pretty.
It's very much in keeping with the manga's art style.
Kind of. From what I saw of the front cover, it looks a bit different, but I think it looks better.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
What I'm interested in, because this is something that is difficult to do in manga, and the mangaka for A Silent Voice, or Koe no Katachi, really did it well was the whole aspect of sign language. How do you portray sign language in a picture form? You know, so actual words. And the way they did it was as if, it was like when you read a shonen manga and they do the multiple punch thing and you see all the fists.
So is it right if you quickly explain the premise again?
Yeah.
Because it's the girl is deaf, right?
Yeah. The girl is deaf. It's about two characters called Shoko and Shoya. Shoko is a girl who transfers into Shoya's class in middle school. And Shoya, initially, because she's deaf, it starts off with a little bit of teasing. Everyone initially is nice to her. But then because they see her as more and more demanding, because she can't hear, so she's asking them to write down stuff for her. And then it leads to them teasing her, which then leads into outright bullying. That comes to a head when Shoya, who's kind of the main ringleader, he breaks her hearing aid, which then leads to Shoko's mum getting involved. The school is then asking, who's done this? You know, this is an expensive piece of equipment.
Give the boy beans.
The class then turn on Shoya, and then he becomes the bullied person. And this is a couple of years after that, because Shoya, during that time, he made a plan and started saving money, because his plan was eventually that he would kill himself, and the money that he'd saved up would go to his mom to make her life easier. It's very dark.
I'm trying to understand the logic behind that.
Because he'd been bullied so badly during middle school.
That it's affecting his family.
His family barely knows about it because he's basically kept them out of it. The people who bullied him in school were the ones that he considered his best friends in the world. And they did it.
So they're hypocrites because they were bullying the girl and now they're...
All right.
Basically, they turned all the blame onto Shoya only. And he was the one who got penalized by the school. And then he got bullied by all the other kids who were supposed to be his friends. And that betrayal and the bullying is what's kind of driven him down that really, really dark path.
Hmm.
Anyway, years later, Shoya goes to high school. And in order to try and understand what Shoko was going through, he actually learned sign language.
Hmm.
Because he didn't, if he ever met her again, he wanted to apologize because he has a much greater understanding of just how much she suffered because of him in middle school. And it just so happens that she's also going to the same high school. Shoya does not trust people, but Shoko is one of the few people that he does trust because he understands and she understands exactly what it's like to be on the receiving end of a lot of bullying.
Mm.
And that's what the story's about.
All right.
Even though I said I wasn't going to go into the story.
Yeah. I know it's like a cartoon, it's not real, but would someone really bully someone for that?
Yeah.
Yeah. The quarrels of children are really brutal.
Well, that gives me lots and lots of hope for the future of our society.
It's the one thing they'll see in schools is bullying's not tolerated. It's a lot of BS.
Yeah,
It's the biggest lie that's ever told to kids.
Yeah.
If anything, if you're a child going through school, what you need to learn is, if you're being bullied, smack that idiot in the face. He will stop bullying you.
We do not condone violence.
It's different if it's revenge.
I'll give you that.
It's true, though. It's like, teachers don't stop it.
No,
just don't get caught beating them up because then you'll get in trouble.
Thing is, the teachers don't stop it.
It's the only way to stop a bully is to hit him. That's my experience.
The teachers don't stop it because the teachers can't stop it. They're not allowed to. See, when I was growing up, right, my mom never, ever hit us, right? She threatened to hit us, and we grew up in the fear that she'd, you know, one day she'd act on her threat, right? But that's the limit of what she did. She did something else instead, and I reckon they should implement this in schools because it really works. It worked with us, and it will work in schools. Instead of smacking the kids,
make them show penance by making them do the Macarena.
No. Yeah, actually, it's kind of like that, right? But make them do the Macarena for 6 hours.
There you go, problem solved.
Seriously. She basically had us doing push-ups and sit-ups and squats and basically just physical exercise. Whenever we got in trouble, it turned into boot camp.
I was going to say, that's kind of counterproductive because when the push-ups are finished and like the bodies build up and the kick and now lash.
Yeah, but thing is, there's that threat from mum that she was going to smack us if we stepped out of line. Didn't matter how built we got,
there's still
that threat. Let's put it this way. My mom had like weird magical powers. She could throw a shoe round corners.
I had his friend and he's like Indian and he was always talking about his mom throwing shoes as well. Is that a South Asian thing?
Yes.
Now I think about it, it seems to be like an African parent thing as well. I guess they're just, they're good for hitting people with. Not probably, not going to do much damage, but.
Well, thing is,
you don't want a shoe flying at your
in
face.
In Britain, we use cricket bats.
It's a sandal, right? I could understand if it was a boomerang, but it's a bloody sandal. How the hell do you get, right? From the kitchen, kitchen's over here, the entrance is here. The doorway leading up the stairs is over here. So the kitchen's over here, and my mum's in the kitchen. I've made it to the doorway, and the shoe comes flying in a curve, round, and hits me in the back of the head.
Just sandpapers the edge, just slightly, just slightly.
I don't know. I don't know how she did it. I just felt this whack against the back of my head, turn around, and I can't see my mum. And do you know what the worst thing about her is? She's turned into a ninja in her old age. Whenever we go shopping, she disappears. And I basically go like 3, 4, 5 times round the entire supermarket asking the staff if they've seen a little old Asian lady and nobody's seen her. And then I'll just be basically go, right, okay, I'm just going to do what I usually do, start reading magazines. Then she appears right behind me going, where have you been?
Might be because you're only going around the outside of the supermarket, though.
No, I'm actually inside the supermarket looking for her, down the aisles and
stuff. Bet she does it on purpose just for a laugh.
Oh, it's even worse when it's at the Mela. You know, the Asian festival that they have here in Teesside, it's even worse there because looking for a little old Asian lady wearing a headscarf at the Mela.
Sad stuff.
Yeah, we kind of got off topic. So,
Don't bully people. It's not nice.
Asylum Voice. I'm actually looking forward to the movie. The manga is really good, really interesting, and really in-depth. And I'm hoping they do it justice in the movie. Anyway, moving on to the trailer that I've been keeping till the end, because this one, I don't care. It could be the worst anime in the world, and I'd still happily watch it. It's Infinity Force.
Oh, yeah, the Tatsunoko thing.
Yep. It's by Tatsunoko. Yeah, it's part of their 55th anniversary project. And they've brought back four of their most iconic heroes, which are Hurricane Polymar, Kashan, Neo Human Kashan, Tekkaman, the Space Knight, and Science Ninja Team Gatchaman's Ken the Eagle. Now, there is actually a manga version of Infinity Force already, and that story is different to what they're doing in the anime. Because the story in the manga is basically a little girl has a magic pencil, so it's a bit like that, what was it?
Penny Crayon.
Yeah, it's a bit like Penny Crayon. She has a magic pencil which can make any wish come true, and she's in kind of a convenience store, general store type thing, and it's getting robbed and she's in danger. They have guns and stuff. And she wishes for a hero to come and save everybody. And four of the heroes appear. I get the feeling that these characters are actually imaginary in that world and that she brings them to life.
Okay.
But like with anything where the hero comes to life, that's when the supervillains start appearing. But yeah, it's Ken the Eagle. I mean, who doesn't love Ken the Eagle, man?
I don't know.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump doesn't like Ken the Eagle. Why couldn't this version of Ken the Eagle meet Donald Trump? He'd punch him into space.
Eagles are as American as you could get. You'd think Donald Trump would like that.
Yeah, I know. I am loving the sound of this, and the trailer for me was just kind of
loving it.
No, I'm not loving it like that. You see the
Lovely
CG
like this
of
instead.
Yeah, okay, maybe like this. Not like that though. You see the CG of Ken skydiving and then doing his landing and everything like that. And that promoted a debate between me and Tucky about superhero landings.
It wasn't really a superhero landing. It was more you're just coming into land and dragging your superior ankle.
Well, Tucky was saying his ankle would break. I said he's a cyborg.
Was a superhero? What's like a proper superhero landing then?
It's where you've got to like kind of crouch, you've got to fist the floor. Excuse me, technology. And you've got to land on one knee. Most likely, it's the one where you hit whichever fist you use. It's usually the knee that's got to hit the floor.
And then
you've got to raise your head up slightly.
And
have someone applaud it as it's done now.
See, I never classed that as a superhero landing.
A Deadpool made it so.
Yeah, I like. You know, in the first Underworld movie?
Yeah.
Right? When I've gotten a name. Damn it. Who was it in there? You know, I've gotten a name who was in Underworld, but she does that thing where she jumps off the building.
Yeah.
Right. And then she lands, but she doesn't pause. She just gets up and walks off. I was like, that's how it's done. See, that's cool.
Yeah, but you got to have the whole like vibration go through your body. And if you crouch, then the energy travels faster through the body.
She's a bloody vampire. She doesn't care about that.
If you land straight, and this is speaking of somebody who's actually jumped from a height and landed straight, it knacks your spine.
Yeah, but they're superhuman. They have super reinforced spines.
They're not that superhuman. I've seen superheroes.
And besides, when they land, they don't need to worry about that, because when they land, they have that crater where they land. So the vibration's gone down into the ground. They don't care.
I can see what you mean, though. It's that whole falling from a massive height and like landing and then just like walking as if nothing happened.
Yeah. See, I find that cool. It's just kind of, yep, I landed.
It's good for hack and slashes and stuff.
Yeah.
Any normal person does it, the skeleton falls apart instantly.
Yes, normal person. We're going to find that in anime.
Oh, have I got a story to tell you?
Right, okay, so Infinity Force is what I'm looking forward to. I don't know what you guys think, and to be honest, I don't care.
All right, then. Next one. Moving on to
the
big... Oh, you actually did it.
Yeah. No, seriously, what do you guys think?
No, that I don't mind, because I don't care about it either. I don't know. It's one of those things. It's hard for me to sort of get a feel from it from what I saw.
Did you ever play Tatsunoko versus Capcom?
Nope.
Ah. That's a shame.
One of the fighting games that I haven't played.
Well, I have it, so I might lend it to you at some point, if you can get hold of Wii.
Yeah, I don't have a Wii with me, so...
Wii U? Play Wii games on the Wii U?
I have Wii U either.
Which I found to me a surprise this weekend, playing the Sonic and Mario Olympics 2012. I only played a silver because it's like, and gold medal goes to silver. It's like, ah, don't use it.
I win. It's no use.
Having Wario on the equestrian round was just weird. The noises he makes.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wah, 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 wah. Wah, ha, ha, ha.
It's a me, Wario.
Okay, let's move on to the big news of the week was that Kadokawa have purchased a 51% stake in Yen Press.
Stake.
Yes.
I just had to sort that one in there.
Yes. T-bone.
So, yeah, they bought a 51% stake in Yen Press, which until then was actually mostly owned by Hachette Publishing Group. And Hachette are one of the biggest publishers in the world. So, I don't know. What do you guys think? They've changed the name to Yen Press LLC, which isn't really that much of a difference.
Well, they don't really need a rebrand when you've got a set company logo and you're already known as.
Yeah.
I think it's one of them things where it's like it's a huge corporate takeover, but they don't want anybody to feel like it's a huge corporate takeover.
Well, when you look at it, Yen Press is the second largest English manga and light novel publishing company in North America. I think Viz Media is the largest, and then Yen Press. And
still a huge market, and it's just them two battling each other.
I don't know, because Kodansha have been stepping into that market as well.
My word, they have.
Yeah, Kodansha have been really stepping up their game. And you've got Vertical now stepping into there as well. So
it's all getting really scrappy and competitive.
Yeah, I think this is one of the preliminary moves for something bigger coming along. Because Kadokawa also have done something else, which we'll get to in a second. But I think with this, I think what's happened is that Yen Press is going to start getting more exclusive things from Japan. More exclusive titles.
That's what sells, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that what Hachette have done, in order to raise the profile of Yen Press in North America and in Europe, they've basically given up controlling interest in Yen Press so that they can kind of make greater profits, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because Kadokawa are a massive conglomerate over in Japan.
I'm not good for business.
Don't worry.
They're huge.
Yes, they are huge. They got their fingers in loads of different pies. And you'll have seen the Kadokawa logo on loads of different anime as one of the sponsors. That should tell you just how many pies they've got their fingers in.
I see. So that way they'll get more anime options and stuff.
They'll get more anime options. They'll get more manga options. They'll have all sorts. But the other big news involving Kadokawa is that they've announced a partnership with Crunchyroll, which I reckon and... you kind of reckon as well, is the second salvo in the war between Crunchyroll and Funimation.
Oh, that's good.
Because it is a war now.
It's all kicking off. I mean, like we say, we've seen Funimation UK launch just this week, and
loads of people went straight for it.
I did. I was one of them. I was straight in there.
Why am I imagining a literal fight scene between Crunchyroll and Funimation?
Give it time, it'll probably happen.
No, no, give it time and it'll be at SunnyCon. On one side, you'll have the
like
guy fans
in a purple
of
squits in skin suit and a guy in an orange one, just no, no, the logo on, they're just smacking each other up.
You'll have the crunchy rollers and the Funimators. And it'll be like the Jets and the Sharks from West Side Stories.
If Crunchyroll respond to my email advances.
It'd be like one of those scenes in like anime where like you got the two sides just running at each other and they just meet in the middle.
Yeah.
Either that or it's just going to be like, Funimation is the best. Crunchyroll is the best.
Blood will be spilled.
No, I think you'll find it's ketchup.
Yeah, but like I say, this is huge. I mean, Kadokawa need to calm down. Like, I'd buy this. We're going to give an exclusive deal with that. And
well, yeah, that's the big thing about it, is that they're giving Crunchyroll an exclusivity deal, which is a massive blow to Funimation.
It's a huge leg up.
Yeah.
Huge leg up
for Crunchyroll and a massive blow to Funimation, because if they've got exclusivity, then Funimation can't go after specific titles and specific franchises and specific series. Because Crunchyroll will have the exclusive rights to stream those.
Yeah.
Whereas before this, Funimation had kind of open season because they had their fingers in so many pies already.
Yeah.
So,
Now it's PlayStation versus Xbox.
Kind of, yeah. Well, it's one of them things. I mean, Crunchyroll, they were going to be beat if they were to stay the same and continue on. But Kadokawa's seen the gap in the market and seen that they can hear them in a way that
is profitable to them.
It is. Yeah. It's. I mean, you just expect that one's going to build a mech and the other one's going to build a bigger mech, and then it's going to end up like that.
Well, when you see the amount of money that's gone into Crunchyroll already,
word.
I mean, the Shannon Group. Actually, they announced in December 2013 that they'd acquired a majority stake in Crunchyroll, and the Shannon Group was run by former News Corp executive Peter Shannon, and they also, you know, Kung Gao, who founded Crunchyroll in 2007, and in 2008, the company raised $4.5 million in its first round funding from Venrock, which is a venture capital firm owned by the Rockefellers.
The Illuminati.
So, yeah, Crunchyroll is literally owned by the Illuminati. Which means that Funimation must be owned by the Freemasons then, because it's got F and M in, doesn't it? Funimation, Freemasons. It's the Illuminati versus the Freemasons.
Maybe they'll tear each other apart.
We've stumbled onto the big war. Anime conspiracy.
I mean, you see the amount of like millions upon millions of dollars that's been pumped into these companies. It's got to be highly profitable.
And it's anime.
Yeah. This is the thing. From Japan's like trade perspective, it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yeah.
And we're now seeing that it's being taken seriously in the West.
Finally.
And so the thing is, some people are saying like this is just a bubble, it'll burst at some point. But
yeah, right.
with that amount of money already like planted and invested into it, it's either like the investors are either really stupid or they're onto something, and it's 90% that they're onto something.
Well, what if they're using fan service to control everyone's minds?
Oh, that's already an established
fact. Is it like a lava lamp? No, seriously, just going into some of the other numbers, right? GDH, which is the corporate parent of Gonzo Animation Studio, also invested around $2 million in Crunchyroll in 2008. Japanese media company TV Tokyo and Japanese ebook distributor Bitware each invested $750,000 in Crunchyroll in 2010.
It's outstanding. I mean, these are big companies in the business world. I mean, just looking there, on the About page, it lists investors as Otomedia.
Yeah, which is a
Churning Group and AT&T. Like, that's a huge...
That's a joint venture owned by them too, yeah.
That's a huge partnership with communications giants.
Well, Otomedia. Otomedia invested another $22 million in Crunchyroll's parent company, Elation, in November last year.
I mean, you think the amount of clout that Funimation's had and the amount of money that Crunchyroll's got, it's going to be at some point Batman versus Iron Man. It's just two rich people throwing money at each other. Hopefully the anime community.
No. Do you know what I'm going to do then? Right. What? I'm going to play both sides. I'm going to be the guy in the middle with the basket while they're throwing money at each other.
Oh, yeah, lads, yeah. Is a Mac and a mess.
That's going to be me.
Just like two massive blast waves of money.
Yeah. And it's just me, just kind of with the sweeping brush, just sweeping it all into the bin. Don't worry, I'll dispose of this for you.
Really just imagine like a beam clash scene from Dragon Ball Z, but replace all the light with money.
Yes.
Thing is, I can see this, like say, with the amount of money, and it's like it's just two people at the moment, yep. two companies. There's room for more companies now, and we might get more diverse when people think, you know what, that's making so much money. I want a slice of that pie.
Yep.
Might see the next stage in the Western anime community, and
yep.
More variety, more companies, a bit more competition.
I'm not just the average 1% warrior. I'm part of the 0.1%.
My interest is over 9,000.
Over 9,000 billion.
Yes.
It's all going to turn out that Donald Trump's one of these investors, isn't
no,
he?
No, do you know, I just thought, can you imagine if, you know, they started bringing out these adverts for credit cards and stuff like that, and then yeah. The government's got their adverts for telling people to, you know, lend responsibly and stuff like that. I can just
the
imagine
money advice service.
The APR is over 9,000.
Hey Rob, okane hane ha.
We're gonna see like Wonga but with anime.
Yes,
payday weeb.
Yes.
Spend all my money.
No, there's going to be convention sharks. They're going to be like,
they're going to be like lodges. That's where I'll step in. Don't worry about the interest.
You have until Tuesday to pay us. If you don't, I'm going to send Goku and Vegeta after you.
Do you know what the funny thing is?
Just two huge bald men wearing ill-fitting wigs and Dragon Ball outfits.
Don't invite them in. You can't invite them in. That's where they get you.
If anyone's got like good animation skills, please make like Dragon Ball Y or Dragon Ball N or something.
That's a funny thing, because in Sunnygon now, on our ticket thing, we've got like register options. So for next year, you can actually pay an installment for your tickets. Leave a deposit now. Unrefundable.
Sorry, I'm just imagining Donna as a Lord Shark.
This is my ultimate attack. Stock market crash.
Oh, I'm remembering See the Money of Soul and Possibility Control all over again. Anyway.
Dragon Ball N.
Yeah. Moving into other news, the new Powerpuff Girls reboot has started broadcasting. And the interesting thing about this is that Craig McCracken's original Powerpuff Girls ran from 1998 to 2005, so 7 years. And this new reboot apparently is going to take a more modern, character-driven approach in updating the Powerpuff Girls for a new generation.
Well, was it exactly a character-driven show to begin with? It's not the impression I get from most children's cartoons.
Yeah. Well, the art director of Adventure Time, Nick Jennings, and the supervising producer of Clarence, Bob Boyle, they are running this new version of Powerpuff Girls. And to quote Jennings, says, "I'm a huge fan of the Powerpuff Girls and always have been. It was pretty groundbreaking at the time. So to reboot it 15 years later and give it a new modern spin was a great opportunity to take something we loved originally and tried to give it a spin for more of today's audience," which is really him saying nothing.
It sounds kind of apologetic.
Yeah, so I don't really get it, but good for you.
Terribly sorry about that.
It's a great universe that we all love and were influenced by, really, and there's a lot to play around with.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think storytelling is different now than it was 15 years ago. It's not when the show premiered, so it seemed ripe for some updating. It didn't need updating.
It's excuses for failure before failure's happened.
I know.
I'm sorry we've done this.
I can understand that. It's like, basically what you said is, I'm going to change it, but I'm not going to tell you how. And, you know, it's full well that people are going to be upset.
But don't worry.
You changed it.
I love the original series, but we're doing something different. And different's not necessarily bad.
Different.
Apparently, they were given pretty much a blank canvas. And they analyzed the original show to figure out which parts were timeless and essential and what needed to change to give it a modern feel.
We'll keep them as priceless porcelain.
Make the soundtrack dubstep, please.
Yes. In general, the way we tell stories now, we tend to be a little more character-driven. We've always been character-driven with stories. the original show, you could dig only so deep with the characters, and then you didn't really get to know them any more than Blossom is the leader and Buttercup's the angry one. That's all you needed from Powerpuff Girls. That's all we wanted.
It was in the theme song.
Girls.
It explained it. That's what we wanted. Three girls beating up a monkey. that's all we ever wanted from it as kids, and it's all we ever wanted from it as an adult.
Now, the thing that I am curious about is if they're going on this whole, we're going to evolve the characters, we're going to tell the characters' backstories, everyone's going to be a character, everything's going to be so deep. How are you going to handle him?
I was going to say him's going to be like turn Buttercup into a trans or something. Oh, it's going to turn into Tumblr, but with Powerpuff Girls. I'm telling you.
At least I'll modernize it.
Didn't Tumblr already turn into that with Powerpuff Girls?
Oh, you don't want to see that side of anything.
No. Anyway, I am curious how they're going to handle him, because him creeped the bejesus out of me. The voice and the giant crab claw, lobster claw, wherever it was.
I am him.
You
need
voice.
No, you
don't
need
know
the proper
like.
I am him. How are you?
I can see like his face is. Oh my god. Yeah.
No, him had a really, really odd voice.
I can see why you'd be scared as a child, because I'm scared as an adult.
No, I was scared of the voice.
Yeah, but in combination with that, like...
Yeah, creeped the bejesus out of me.
It was like a lobster accidentally walked into the Rock Horror Picture Show.
And the thing is, him is supposed to be the devil. Yeah. You know?
What are you? I don't know, dears.
I mean, can you do the voice of him?
No. I'm not going to... Well, I probably could, but I'm not going to try.
I just attempted. You try it now.
No. Because I've got all of the echoes and after effects. And
I know.
I'm not Taylor Swift.
Anyway, Warner Brothers is releasing a timeless classic onto DVD in June. And I hate you, Cartoon Brew, because you basically trolled us with this article. Made us think that it was going to be, you know, the classic Warner Brothers cartoons. It was going to be something like that. Only for us to get to the end of the article and find out it is Filmation's release of Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle.
The complete season one.
And it's just in time for the July release of Tarzan in theatres. The question I've got is, why?
I've got a
April
question.
Fools.
Why is there an elephant in the jungle?
Yeah.
Elephants live in plains.
Yep.
I've never questioned that. Because, like, wasn't there an elephant in Jungle Book as well?
Yeah.
Yep.
The other thick question I've got is, Tarzan never used a spear, did he?
Yeah, he didn't. He would have needed it to kill and live, but...
He never carried it around with him.
He's far too clean. He's got a great haircut.
And he's white.
Yeah. Well done.
Well, you know, how else are we supposed to relate to him? If he looked different, then, you know... Ugh.
Well, he's in a hot country, so surely he should be tanned.
Yeah, but then he'd have to be brown.
Yeah, he shouldn't be pasty, should he?
you can't make a movie main character brown.
Oh, but he's raised in the jungle.
Bad idea.
Maybe
he's just under trees all the time. Always
he's
in the
raised
shade.
In the jungle, so all the trees cover him all of the time with all their shade, so the sunlight doesn't get to him.
Yeah,
which means he has rickets.
I was going to say, are you a bit anemic?
He likes to keep it chill in the shade.
He's got vitamin D deficiency.
Or maybe he's an albino.
Possibly, we don't know.
But he's got a good hairdresser in the jungle anyway, so.
Yeah, I know, that's a hell of a haircut.
At the end of the day, he's not brown, so all is right in the world.
Plus that log, he's standing on, is absolutely covered in moss. He must have amazing balance.
Yeah.
Spider-Man-like feet.
I don't even see his feet.
If you've ever stood on moss, you'll understand why that is impossible.
No, the other thing is, on the cover, his left leg is markedly smaller than his right leg.
Oh, yeah, where does it go? It just kind of
maybe he's Jeremy Beadle, but with the legs.
Well, do you know what? I can't relate to people with both legs either, so it's good.
Yeah,
true.
Right, we're going to take a break there then, so we'll be back with some anime from Turkey.
Hi everyone, this is Andrew from the Geek Show Podcast Network, here to tell you to go listen to 4Panel. We've got all the latest news and reviews on all things comic and manga, and of course, lots of jokes about the Ten-Eyed Man. Go listen to it!
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Geekbrain. Now we have some reviews with Tucky.
Yes, Tucky.
I just love the feeling of everyone looking at us. It's like that police line up all over again.
Yeah. I'm just quoting your t-shirt here.
Yeah.
You can't see me. I work out because the fat's covering it.
Irony.
Yes.
So, two reviews, because I've had a busy week. First, I'm going to start off with the less controversial review with Amnesia. This was a two-disc DVD from MVM Entertainment. So, start off, it was a strange one to watch. Storyline follows a girl who wakes up one day without her memories, hence the amnesia in the title.
Yeah.
However, there's a catch. She's kind of reset back to August the 1st, and the world becomes different in small ways. I'd say it's kind of a Sliding Doors meets Alice in Wonderland theme. The character design's very stylized, and there's a lot of play with, like, roses and suits of cards. It's not like cards in suits, but, you know, the clubs, spades, hearts, diamonds. It's a massive positive for the show, as the costume designs are really good. And if I'd say if they were ever to make the outfits that the characters wear in the anime, they'd probably sell, like, real good in the real world. So, especially that there was I'm going to call him the clubs guy because I can't be bothered to remember the names of all the male characters in it, but the guy who wears the long green coat.
Yeah.
That quote I wanted.
Anime has some pretty styling clothes sometimes. Seems to be the case of this show.
It's very aesthetic, the feel of it. So the girl, she finds herself lost, confused, and a random spirit sprite named Orion, who claims like it's his fault that she's without any memories. But she finds herself jumping from parallel universe to parallel universe, where in which somehow she's dating a different one of her male work colleagues. And a boss somehow changes from like being really strict and caring to like really camp and then just a big ear hole. But there are some constants to the story. She's always working in the maid's calf, and there's always a weirdo guy with green hair who looks like he knows what's going on, but he doesn't let on till like the end. Kind of looks like the subway bosses from Pokemon Black and White. If you catch me drift. So plot-wise, it's a slow progression. It struggles to keep interest, but it's kind of a good struggle. It's a really weird one for me. It can be boring, and I felt slightly lethargic watching it. And after all, it's just the same episode repeated. Only that difference is she's going out with a different man.
Sounds a bit Endless 80.
Yeah, it's slow. Takes like 8 episodes to really like take a twist, and then it like goes full pelt into it. But it's one of them ones that you need to be patient. It's like a slow development, lots of layers before anything actually makes any sense. We'll say though, the huge plot hole in this is anyone who wakes up with amnesia or memory loss, first thing they do would be like, oh, what's going on? Where am I? Who am I? You know, they will ask questions, where she just wakes up and she's kind of like, okay. Just walks on, and then like the rest of it just blags the rest of it. Just goes on like it's normal, even though like it's happened to her multiple times, that never once does she just wake up and go, well, what's going on? Who am I? Who are you? What are you doing? Even when things change, like she changes boyfriend, she's not like, but I was like boyfriend with Shin, now I'm boyfriend with you. It's just like, I don't get why, but it happens. Like I say, it all makes sense come episode 10. If you can hold in there, you'll be rewarded with some action.
Okay.
Despite the
what
first
kind of action,
just action, not the kind of action that you see in most of the animes. But despite the first 9 episodes being like a parallel kind of reverse universe harem of some kind, it's like some lass who knows nout, but it's okay to emotionally accept the fact that she's going out with every bloke in her life.
They like him dumb, I guess.
Yeah. It's like, oh, memory loss. Oh, wait, did I die in the last world? Even though she doesn't know that. Just
forgetfulness, that's attractive.
it's got a great twist at the end, but you've got to hang in there through the whole Groundhog Day BS. So character-wise, it's a mixed bag, because the main protagonist, she's a bit dull and unresponsive and not really what you want from like a lead. She didn't progress much, and it's about as interesting as cardboard. But I'd liken it to watching a birdhouse. 99% of the time, there's absolutely nout there. But when a few chaffinches and swallows are there in that bad boy, then the party starts. But all the support characters are like harem of playing card men. They're all interesting and they each have their own like traits, like I don't know, they've just got all their own interesting traits, I suppose. But Yukio, the guy who with the green hair who doesn't let on much, he is by far the best character in it. And it was only right that he had a pivotal part right at the end of it. I mean, final thoughts on it are it's not so much negative, but it came across as like a mediocre title, something that you'll watch once. Say you know that you've watched it, if it ever comes up in conversation, if you can be bothered to bring it up in conversation at all. I mean, after the fan service headache I've had in the last few weeks, it's been refreshing to watch something that's... I'd say it's kind of normal. I mean, it was kind of like a mystery, like Dragon, but, you know, it's better than some of the trash that I've seen. It's kind of like cold water on a morning or a nice pop on a summer's day, kind of refreshing. Or tucked into bed with new bed sheets. I was going to actually give this a rating of 4 stars because it wasn't anything special, but the fact that everything is explained right at the end, it's tied up into a nice little bow, kind of upped it to a 5-star rating. Probably just won't be watching the series again, but if you're prepared to slug it out, Amnesia is by no means unforgetful.
Cool.
Unforgettable. And second one, let me get started on Camphor.
Yeah, well, kumquat. I think kumquat, yes, or campione. Didn't you say camphor is like the Germanic word for champion?
Well, it is.
Sorry, I don't speak French,
but I let my funky music do the talking.
Yes, play that funky music.
Oh, no, right. So this title, as you may have guessed, has somewhat German feel to it.
Really? You're right. Going down that route.
You've got to explain the obvious and then hit them with something.
Right where it hurts.
Yeah. And this anime really hurts. I had the free disc DVD from MVM Entertainment. And again, this title was a weird one for me, but not the weird in the Amnesia sense. The weird as in, I'd like to have amnesia from watching this.
Savage.
I mean, I try and do it some justice, but I was personally introduced to this series, not through the manga or the anime series, but the Camphor Abridged, which is done by Masako X and a few of the team 4-star and,
best thing ever.
They'll see, support the official release, but if you want any advice, don't support the official release, just watch Abridged and see.
How does the song go, Lewis?
It's a story about a guy that turns into a girl, but it's not Rama, it's Camphor, it's German.
So, as you may guess, the storyline follows our main protagonist, Natsuru Senu, who one day wakes up as a girl. Yay! And he's informed by his stuffed toy that he is a camphor. Not a campfire, but a camphor.
Not a kumquat.
So the German word, as we say, Kampfer, is an occupational name for a fighter or a champion. And from an ancient derivative of Middle High German, Kampf for fight. It's also the English translation, like, can be Kemp, which explains why Ross Kemp's such a badass. And he's perfect for everything in his career. But I can't imagine Ross Kemp turning into a girl whenever he enters battle. Ross Kemp on gangs.
Ross Kemp on Camphor.
I was going to say, if he turns into a girl, Ross Kemp on gangs turns into a totally different program.
More like gangs on Ross Kemp.
Literally. Oh. All over him. Anyway, back with the series, Natsuru discovers soon that he/she isn't the only one. And she is attacked by a Kamiya gun-toting maniac who turns out to be his/her side anyway. The start is very hectic, confusing, and basically, apparently teams of camphors, one with red bracelets, one with blue, and later on you find out there's white bracelets as well. Each team member has a special weapon or skill. There's the Guha, which is a gun, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing these right, the Schwertz, which is a sword, and Zauber, which is magic. From what I gathered from the first 12 episodes is each camphor has a stuffed toy from the innards or bowel familiar collection. Which is basically
innards
animal.
Or bowel?
Yeah, well, it's innards familiars or the bowel familiar collection.
Seppuku toys.
It's animals who have their entrails hanging out.
For some reason.
See,
for some reason, yeah.
The weird
suicidal
thing is,
animals.
The weird thing is, they've called them that in the anime, but in the manga, they were calling them just entrail animals.
And it's a,
that was it.
Yeah, that was,
sounds like
yeah.
a more collectible thing. Bowel familiars.
no, it's not. You want to collect bowel familiars, do you?
Yeah, that doesn't sound.
Let's see what's familiar in my bowels. Buy them now. Pretty much goes along with the whole story anyway. This story is a bowel familiar. So anyway, these
that
toys...
That's savage as hell.
These toys, for some reason, seem to know what's going on, and they say it won't say anything more than it's what the moderators want. And for some reason, camphors can only be girls. So it's a bit like Infinite Stratos and similar shows to effect. Initially, we get a glimpse of some fighting, but that fizzles out and makes way for a weird love harem of sorts.
Yeah, there's not a lot of fighting in it, was there?
No, I mean, for...
Given the name.
I mean, once again, it's a rather confusing situation where Natsuru likes a girl in school called Sakura. However, Sakura doesn't find male Natsuru interesting in the slightest, but female Natsuru she's madly in love with. So to compound matters, Akania, the last with a gun, her non-camphor form is a Shilai breed-dwelling nerd who, in a short space of time, also falls for Natsuru. And throwing into the mix the school president, who was an opposing team camphor.
And a rapist.
She acts as a wild card, stirring stuff up when eventually she also falls for Natsuru. And there's also Natsuru's childhood friend who travels around a lot but returns home about halfway through the series. And you can guess what happens there.
She hates him. she finds that he's changed for the worse and he needs to grow up.
But she'll still ride him. So, despite it being
yes.
very...
For her, she doesn't mind. They don't mind. The girl's like
no,
the guy,
no,
but
don't.
You can't tell. It's funny. And they like the guy and the guy girl too.
You made it more concise than what I can actually put.
Is this how relationships work in Germany?
Oh. What kind you pay for it is.
In Germany.
Germany.
Jinx, you can't continue review now.
So, despite it being very fan servicey, it was okay to a point. I haven't seen a decent gender bend anime since I read No Bra, and for me, this wasn't a decent anime anyway. It's after last week's shambles of So I Can't Play H, I kind of grimaced.
You want a good gender bend anime?
Not right now.
No, if you want something that's interesting, sensitive, and is all about gender identity, then you want to watch Wandering Sun. I'll read the manga, which is better.
I'll put it on my list.
Yeah.
That list, that's taking up too much of my time. Anyway, like I say, so I can't play H. I kind of grimaced at the thought of having to sit through one more perv-focused drivel. However, Blessed Camphor actually tried somewhat of a storyline and plot, and I use the term loosely. It tried.
I remember it being a little funny. As I said, I've not seen the original in a long time.
The fan service was unbearable in places. It deteriorated quickly. And for me, personally, I mean, my interest wavered in places, and there's an abundance of scenes intended to misconstrue. Like ordinary scenes that work with the dirty mind. And, you know, the type that I'm talking about, and they really overuse it in camphor. But the fan service doesn't just stop there. The title screens of the characters in skimpy swimwear and an overload of girl-on-girl attraction, for example. The fact that the whole girls section of the school falls for
Natsuru. Raging lesbians.
Yeah. Whereas in normal life or shows, one or two people may pay attention, but here the whole female student body is a horny rabble. Totally.
Oh, yeah, we got to establish the fact that the school is separated from boys and girls. They can't interact with each other in school at all.
I'll get to that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the whole female student body is totally and utterly infatuated with female Natsuru. And being the protagonist and sexuality doesn't even come into it. All the females are just full-blown lesbian. I mean, I've touched
on it because it's so true.
I touched on it with last week's. I touched on it last week with Can't Play H, and I'll reinforce my stance here. It's time to stop. Stop this whole unrealistic 14-year-old kid's wet dream. It doesn't make for good viewing. There are people and manga authors out there with interesting stories to tell the world and show the world, and they're denied this on the platform because this smutty stories where there's the only thing magical about them, someone in a position of power. You know,
I've been saying
that, so well.
I have been saying exactly that for 10 years.
I mean, yes, sex sells, but it's shallow sell.
Yeah,
it's down to you, the listeners, watchers, viewers, readers. You make the change.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that much anime, but my perspective of it is there's enough of it out there already. We don't need more.
Thing is, there's...
It's as simple as that.
As Tucky said, there are plenty of interesting stories out there already that could easily be adapted to anime. And there are plenty of people out there who have interesting ideas and concepts that can be developed for original anime.
Mm.
Right? Literally, all that's happening with anime these days is that one person has an idea. Oh, we must jump on the bandwagon. Let's do this version of that. Let's do the high school version of that. Let's
like
do the fan service version of that.
Ever.
You know,
well, not fan service specifically, but one person gets an idea, it sells, everyone does some variant on it.
Then the original
it's
idea
like,
breaks
stop.
Off.
Yeah.
Like Attack on Titan. Let's do Attack on Titan High School, the chibi version. It's like, no, why?
Yeah.
Why? Naruto, chibi Naruto.
I say make high school gender bend version Attack of Titan, please.
No, because that
don't give them ideas. Don't give them ideas.
That probably exists.
Don't do that. That was a joke. Don't do it.
That probably exists already.
I mean, it's not all bad. It's terrible, but it's not all bad.
Was it ever funny?
There were a few references to the anime here and there, and they even got like funny connections. I mean, with the Balfamiliars, which voice actor the Balfamiliar sounds like, they managed to connect it up and make fun of that. I'd even go to say so far to say the Balfamiliars are one of the show's saving graces. Stuffed toys who were fashioned after animals who have suffered death in a terrible way and have their guts hanging out. It's kind of the typical dark kawaii that corporate Japan loves to sell.
Yep.
I mean, on the first DVD, an extra was the Balfamiliar special. It's lazily animated and full of bluster, but it goes a long way, and it's slightly better than the show. That shows how bad the show was all over. I mean, it's each episode title is in German, which is a nice touch, I suppose. But I mean, and it's also, I mean, like you touched on, like this, that the school is actually separated by a wall, kind of like the Cold War, to stop boy-girl interaction. I was half expecting an episode where the Hoff visits the school and performs while they tear down the wall at some point. However, saying that, the show, it feels confusing. It takes an age to get going. It was like watching filler constantly. I mean, they do try for comedy, but it's just not funny. The whole Natsuru trying to get to terms with being a girl seems to be done for cheap laughs. And I mean, I know it's an anime, but it seems unrealistic. It's like you turn from a hetero boy into an attractive girl. What would you do?
I can't remember what, like, I think that was the first thing he does is try to go back to sleep or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, in no way does Natsuru waste 3 weeks sitting in front of a mirror. instead, the kind of the tournament to Kirito from Sword Art Online.
Yeah,
he turns into a spineless wimp, and I mean, he's oblivious to most things. It's the fact that his crush fancies him, and he stops her advances even when she's like a girl. If I was transformed into a girl, like the magical way, not the surgical procedure, and it turned out that my crush wanted me to the point where she'd actually lock me in a room and demand me to do unspeakable things, I'd oblige.
I'd be terrified.
I wouldn't timidly run away.
Yeah, but that's because you're from Sunderland. I've tried the sandwiches in Sunderland.
Yeah, now I think about it, that's the thing of this show. It seems that everyone in this show is a rapist.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know what? Your hot, young, long-term crush likes a big girl-on-girl action. And the bonus is, you're the girl. It's kind of an unrealistic expectation of being unrealistic if you follow us.
I'm not going to lie.
I know not every girl in the school can be a lesbian, like fancying Natsuru, but to also have Natsuru, a hetero male, in a girl's body, be all shy and standoffish.
True, you think you'd get used to it.
What I don't understand, though, is in the school, aren't the boys and girls separated?
Yeah.
Yep.
For a start?
Yeah. Yep.
So
it's like it's a forbidden fruit, and you're stuck in the middle of the orchard of the forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
So, hang on. If you know anything about, say, private schools, especially places like Eton and
Kelsey
Rodine.
Grammar School.
Basically places like Eton and Rodine. So you have the boys' school, you have the girls' school. It's just all boys, all girls, right? I know people who've gone to both, and they've told me categorically, the girls who went to just an all-girls school, the main thing on their minds pretty much constantly was boys. Mm-hmm. And the, all the boys who went to boys' school, main thing on their mind almost constantly was girls.
But
that's only natural.
But boys and are icky and gross. Like, if you separate all the girls, surely they just turn lesbian. Like, that makes sense. If I was in that position, I'd do the same.
I like to say this is the thing, having a hetero male in a girl's body stuck in the middle of the orchard of the forbidden fruit. No, you can't have it. There's only so much BS in a show. I'm sorry, and that's what's crossed the line for me.
That's basically a hentai waiting to happen.
You can have one or the other. Either all the girls in the school are normal and that's who is shy, or all the lasses are raging lesbians and that's who dies of exhaustion from motorboating every one of them on the way to class. You can't have it both ways. No, honestly, I will say that it does know its market audience with girl-on-girl, skimpy outfits, high schoolers with unusually high libidos, blue and white striped panties, unrealistic and shy full-blooded male character, a beach date and holiday episode, a psycho with pink hair, even the Pocky game.
I mean, I know Natsu's transformed into a girl, but stop being such a kitty cat.
I mean, this ticks all the boxes on the, well, nearly all the boxes on the weeb bingo.
Which someday you will finish making.
Yeah, every weeb stereotype is in it. It's one of them things you can sit your mate down in front of it, and if they like this show, then you can brand them with weeb.
Yep.
Oh!
It's true. I've got no complaints about this.
Final thoughts on the series are it's lacking in important places and comes off as, like I say, the height of weeb bait. It goes out of its way to pad out the plot and character development with fan service fluff.
I'd say, rather than weeb bait, I'd say it's the height of otaku bait rather than weeb bait.
Yeah.
Oh, no, here
because,
we go.
Well, weeb tacos.
Well, weeb tacos, whatever you want to call them.
Some kind of amalgamation of just crass.
It's just basically, Camphor is one of those shows where the merchandise is where the money is. And that's literally it.
Right, and the Shawn Michaels don't touch the merchandise kind of merchandise.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, they had an interesting concept. I mean, like you say, the title translates into fighter or champion for crying out loud.
But he doesn't fight.
Exactly. They should rename it Futschbar or Mull. Google it. because where it's had the potential of like a fantasy battle scenario, it turns out to be just harem nonsense. This has been held in regard by some of my friends, and I've heard positive things from the community about it.
Really?
Yeah, but
what?
Let's put it this way.
I mean, with that respect, I'm going to be changing my friends, and I'm ashamed of the community even more.
Let's put it this way. If you haven't watched anime, maybe you'll find it funny, because it was one of the very early anime that I saw, and I don't remember it very well, which might say a lot about the show, but I do remember it at least being funny at times, but at the same time, I hadn't seen all the anime tropes back then, so...
For certain things, your brain will block out for your own good. This is one of them.
I feel like in, like, hindsight, it's full of a lot of, like, by-the-numbers sort of anime stuff, and, you know...
Mate, it's hard to keep attention with the storyline as bland. The action is few and far between in any context to the whole reason as to why campers exist is ignored.
Yeah, it's like when I got to the end of it, I was kind of like, okay, that was funny, I guess, but where's the fights and why is the fights? That's like the main thing I sort of thought when I finished it.
You as the viewer should just deal with it and enjoy the countless number of women fighting over this one wimp. It's basically Sword Art Online. Only without the action.
Do you know what it is? I think I found that funny at the time, to be honest. I think I found that funny, and it was fun watching him squirm. But again, like, since then, been there, done that a million times in anime. So
if you buy this for an interesting action-packed series about warriors and champions with a big comedy thrown in your face, you're out of luck. But if harem's soft jewelry or what floats your boat, then get yourself away. I'm giving this two ratings. First, it gets two Tucky stars. And this is only because it's marginally better than Can't Play H, because H was just repetitive nudity for the sake of it, and that's what got it one star. But this actually tries to put something together, but like I say, the title is Champion, and it's false advertising, and it loses major points for that. However, the good news is that Camphor does get the Tucky Award for Weeb Bait of the Year trophy for ticking so many of the weeb demographics. And yep. until a more weeby anime comes along in 2016, you know, I'll actually send a trophy out to the creator of Camphor.
Savage.
It's set the bar so high, so, you know, good luck.
Savagery.
It was trash, man, honestly. It was garbage, and I'm not going to get that time back.
It's true.
That's all I can say. I mean, I like to enjoy animes. I don't want to watch it. It's like, oh, it's a boy, girl, and look, he, she is followed by a big, huge crowd of lesbians, but he's doing nothing about it. Bull. Absolute bull.
Yep.
If it was real, he'd do something about it. And he'd either end up in a sex clinic or prison, or both.
I think that wraps it up quite nicely.
Yeah. Right. On that note, I think we're at the end of the show. So we're going to leave you for another week. The Geek Show Podcast Network is a voluntary organization, so we do need everyone's support to keep producing these fantastic rants by Tucky.
I need food.
Yeah. So if you could, please make a donation using the button on the right-hand side of our website or purchase one of our bits of merchandise from our shop. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so at studio@thegeekshow.co.uk. Our website is thegeekshow.co.uk, and you can get in touch with us on Facebook, Twitter, and various other places, including my anime list, where we have a club as well. All of our shows are available on Mixcloud and soon, very, very soon, iTunes and Stitcher and various other places as well.
Thank you for listening.
Yep. I have been Rob.
Guys. I've been Lewis.
And I've been boring.
You've been ranty. You've been ranty face.
You've been savage.
You've been ranty pants.
No. No, it's just some animes like can lift you, and some animes can just put you so down.
Yeah,
yeah.
I guess we'll be fighting to forget about the anime we've been reviewing this week.
I've got some good ones for next week. So, thumbs up.
Yes, but for now, let's do what Lewis said. Let's forget.
Make puns.
Yes. See you all next week.
Don't forget about us.